This is Telltales, Dakota Folklife and Stories, a collection of narratives, shared memories, and personal experiences from those who live on the North Dakota Plains. Keith Bear has had a relationship with the wooden flute most all of his life. In this episode, Keith shares how he learned to play the flute and how he was taught to make flutes and then given the right to do so.
I was working at the hospital, Flagstaff Medical Center. Came home, I seen my old friend from high school, Bob Hall, and his daughter was getting married. He said, "Say, you still got your whistle?" "Yeah." He said, "Why don't you come and play her wedding for us? We want you to play." And afterwards, and he came over, "So here you go." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "You know, that's my little sister." "No, no." He said, "We invited you. You got to take this." And trying to give me money. And I said, "I don't know. How much do you charge?" I said, "I've never charged you. Just take it." He said, "If anybody ever asked you to play," he said, "you're at least worth $50. And so that was the first time I got paid was $50. Then other people started asking. But I was asked if Carl Whitman and William Bell, I seen him. "So what are you doing these days?" "So I'm looking for work." He said, "Well, we're going to go to Washington, D.C., he said, "and we need somebody like you. We've been watching you, but we need a buffalo dancer. We need to bring this back. I want you to be one of them." "Sure, you know, let me talk to my uncle. Let me talk to my grandpa." And so I talked to Sammy and Orby, Lil Allen. Again, I was still just kind of improvising and making stuff up, but then Uncle William said, "Do you know this song?" And it's a hunting song. And I said, "Yeah, I know that one." He said, "Well, play that for me." So I took like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we were sitting around that circle there in Washington, D.C., all those people. We were talking. They were talking to the audience. And I was just playing background music, you know, just to make noise. And I thought, well, the wind is blowing his way. Let's see if I got it. So I started playing that song. And then after a few notes, I kind of seen him lean forward and he kind of nodded his head and he nudged Uncle Carl next to him. And he looked over and he nudged Uncle Bill Baker sitting next to him. We all three were nodding their head and talking to each other. And so afterwards, Uncle Bill said, "Is that the hunting song?" I said, "Yeah, it's pretty good. I never heard it on a flute." He said, "That's pretty good." So that was a compliment. And then, you know, Bill Baker is one of the best singers. And then Uncle Carl, he was taught at Harvard. You know, very brilliant man. Uncle Willem knows a lot. Old veteran, singer, traditional. So those three were major. You know. And at the end of it, then Uncle Carl said, "When we get home, you should come visit me." He said, Carl Whitman. So he started telling me about his flute when I got back to North Dakota. I went to see Carl, and when they asked you to come and visit, so I took a bag of groceries and put $20 in there, gas money. It was just the honor of being asked to come and see him or something like that. I had no idea what was going to happen. But we visited, and then I gave him that gift before I left. "I'll give that to your auntie. She'll feed us." So he took me out in the back in that glass shed he had. He said, "But I'm going to show you something." So he gave me a piece of wood, just a flat, 1x2. He said, "Put your hand here, put your two fingers right here, and mark it like this. Put your hand right here, and mark it like this. Put your thumb in it." So everything he told me to do, I did. Then he gave me a drill, that old hand crank drill. "Now you make some holes here." And then he went in the house. That's why he came. "You done?" "Yeah, just about." So I finished that up. He said, "Now you take this knife and you draw a line right down the edge." And he did it on the other side. And then he put one right down the middle. He said, "Now take this knife, this draw knife, you know, and just go. Draw it down a few times. Then you take it at an angle, and you go a little bit deeper. Then you take this gouge, and you take that out of there. Now do it a little bit more." And then on the end of that stick, he showed me, "Take your thumb and put it right there, and draw half a circle around your thumb. Now that's how deep you got to go. When you turn it over, it looks like the cup." Then we sandpapered. It was just right. So it took us about 4 days. And then he put a little block on the top, wrapped some leather around it, and he said, "Try that." And so, I mean, it tooted. I'm like, "God, cool." And so he said, "Now we got to work on it, because it's still square." So We took it, we glued that together. Come back tomorrow, he said. So I come back tomorrow, early. I was there by about 9 o'clock. And we sat in there all day long talking, and he showed me how to make the lines on the side, how to take the corners off and then take those corners off, and that rounds it up pretty good. We got those back together, did all of that, sanding and looking on the inside, and then he said, now this is how you tune it. You get that scale, you got that scale in your head, you know that do-do-do-do-do. You know music enough, he said. So start with your low note and just work your way up, do-do-do-do-do-do. And so it just, the slightest touch really changes the note, so I messed up a few. And I get mad and I take them and I put them in a bucket, you know, Uncle Carl smiling. He says, so what's wrong with those ones in the bucket? They don't sound like the flute. Remember you showed me how? They don't sound right. He said, they sound good. He said, but they don't sound like the flute that you made. You know, we made a flute. And he's got a smile. He said, do you sound like me when you sing? No. He said, no, everybody's got their own voice. He said, these flutes, they're alive. He said, they're not just a piece of wood. That wood was a tree. That tree was alive. He said, when you breathe into it, it becomes alive. He said, you have your voice and I got my voice. When you make that flute and you carve, he said, that wood vibrates different. And so each one has its own voice. And so you got your voice and I got my voice. Some people, they like to sing in public, you know. Some people, they just sing at home, and man, they are wonderful to listen to, but they are afraid to sing in public. He said, then you got those that love to sing in public, and they grab the microphone, and they stand up in church, and they go to these meetings, and when they, kind of like your auntie there, you know, she loves to sing, but and I like to hear her sing, because it makes her feel good, but she makes cats cry. Yeah, she's kind of hard, but wonderful woman. But she loved to sing, she just didn't have a voice. But who cares, you know, everybody. And so after that, I stopped making my flute like his. I just like, now let's see what happens. And so pretty soon I got like 40 different flutes and 30 different sounds. And like everyone's just a little bit different. Everyone's just a little bit longer. You know, I didn't measure, you know, 24 inches. Now put this one 6 inches and do this. I just grabbed a piece of wood and looked it over. Can I make a flute out of that? I grabbed the branches. I grabbed fence posts. And so looking at things in a different way, that tree of life really does sing. And so he gave me that, Uncle Carl.
And then Carl gifted Keith a bag of his own flute-making tools.
He said, now I'm going to give you this. He said, now you're not just a flute player. You're a flute maker. And that's where I got the right.
Produced in partnership with Dakota Legacy, this project is supported in part by a grant from the North Dakota Council on the Arts, which receives funding from the North Dakota State Legislature and the National Endowment for the Arts.